going unhappy part of it and try to have categorized happiness in the Old Testament in 16 categories. Sometimes the translators leave it happy. We find that a time or two. Most time, again, they use the word blessed. And the advantage of that is God is the source when we use the word blessing, so that's an advantage. And culturally, happiness is usually short-term thrill and not long-term good feeling, so there's an advantage of translating it blessing. The disadvantage is we have two different blessings in the Old Testament, and it's hard to know which one's which. Baruch or Baraka is blessing for success. Asher is what we're looking at. That's kind of a lasting good feelings. Not so much everything is right with the world, but everything is right with God, and God will make everything right with the world. So lasting good feelings, not temporary thrill. Psalms and Proverbs have the most of these, not all, but have the most, the majority just in those two books. We have looked at the first four, which I'll review, and then we'll go on and try to get, well, if we can, we'll make it to 10. I don't know whether we'll get that far, but faith in God brings happiness is number one. I almost wish I had made a little bit different. It's like refuge in God. It's not the same word as saving faith, which does kind of mean support. You can use it like a building, support, like carrying something, like getting up, like little babies, get up in God's arms and let him carry us to salvation. That's the word for salvation. Amen. This word kind of means security. It's more like a fortress. We might say a bunker. So faith for protection in the world storm. Battle brings happiness. Number two, happiness is by feeling one has been chosen. There's your Deuteronomy 33 from Moses, since most of these are Psalms and Proverbs. Anything from Moses is interesting. And blessed are you, O Israel. Feel better. Feel happier, you, O Israel. Who is like you, a people saved by the Lord? Well, if we're just that, we might say it's just an application, but 1 Peter 2:9 puts us in that category also. Peter directly applies being chosen to us. We are a chosen people. We are a royal, kingly, majestic priesthood. So it's both co-ruling with Jesus someday and priesthood in that we all can go directly to God for worship. We are a chosen people. I think in terms of emotions and psychology, that's a very important thought. Usually when someone has really bad feeling, that's where I try to get them to think not only about their problems, but to think about their position with God. Chosen, clothed in Christ's righteousness, part of God's family, gifted. Plan for everyone. So security in God brings happiness, feeling being chosen. God's word has the most of them. Can't review them all, but you see, no matter what description is used, they all go back to the Bible. God's law, God's word, God's testimony, God's commandments, God's ways, God's wisdom. They all go back to the Bible. It's not so much that the Bible is a magic book. And reading it alone makes one feel better. But if one gets the truths of the Bible and believes in the truths of the Bible, that will certainly make us feel better. We stopped last time at the fear of the Lord, spending a little bit of time of wondering about what the definition of fear is. Full human race, I would include dread and terror. Unsaved people should be terrorized by the prospects. Now, we who trust in Jesus as Savior, I think it's correct for the commentators to say, we don't have dread or terror or panic. We have our eternal destiny settled. And yet I think sometimes fear of God is a little more than respect. It's kind of like the way I try to describe it is taking God seriously. Positive and negative. Taking God seriously, where God says, I will give you great blessings if you do what is right, or I will give chastisement if you do what is wrong. It's not the same as terror or dread or panic over eternal destiny, but one does not want to, Jesus' phrase, put God to the test. God does not want to see, one does not want to see how close one can get to making God angry. Believers have grace in eternal destiny, but we don't want to see his chastisement either. So let's call fearing God a little more than respect. Let's call taking God seriously, both in terms of his positive promises, but also in terms of his warnings of chastisement. That brings us to something new, although we talk about it a lot, and we're at number 5, and it says seeking God. Again, I'd like to use Isaiah because we use Psalms and Proverbs so often. So if you'll come with point number 5, we'll look at Isaiah 30, verse 18. Isaiah 30, 18 has lots of God's characteristics to bless us, and then does have the word bless or asherah. Isaiah 30, verse 18. Therefore the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How happy are all those who long for him. The two long fors are interesting. The Lord longs to bless you, so do we long to be close to God. He will give grace. We get Hannah from that. Won't give all the Hebrew, we get Hannah from it. He longs to give compassion. That's the one that means the mother's womb, which is also interesting because God has character traits of both genders. And so we need to call him Father, but he's like a compassionate mother. He wants to give that, but he longs to give. Do we long for him? He longs for us to give us blessings. Do we long for him? And again, happiness is mostly being close to God. It's not so much something that... it's something we get by being close to God. I've used the idea of shining. We're using the idea of warmth. When we stay away, we don't get it. When we draw near, we do get it. And longing for is not the same word as seeking, but I put them in the same category. Seeking God is longing for God. Here's a seek. Psalm 119:2, blessed or happy are all those who seek him with their whole heart. And we've talked about seeking in other subtopics other than happiness. And again, it's like in a more primitive time when we don't have as much communication, we don't have phones, and we don't have mail, and we don't have emails, and we don't have texts, and someone's out there and we really care about them, but we've lost track. Think of the pioneers coming and they keep moving west and, you know, lost track of them for a while. And to seek to find them would be very intense, and finding them would be very, very joyful. Well, that's like ancient Israel, seeking, in this case, for God, who is like a missing person, longing for him. And our point is when one is rediscovering, and we rediscover truth about him, then the feeling is very, very intense happiness. Number 6, worship brings happiness. That is not surprising. We had already done Psalm 84. I'd kind of like to read a little bit of it again, but first let's go to Psalm 89. We'll pick a new one for stressing. Worship brings happiness. Now, we'd have to say not so much church rituals that we're used to doing since we were kids, or think of a liturgical church, that sort of thing, but worship brings happiness in the sense of we want God to be promoted. We want God to be exalted. Seeking God, we want to discover more about Him. Worship is we want Him to be promoted. We want Him to be exalted. And we'll go back to Psalm 84 that you sang a moment ago, but we'll go to Psalm 89, verse 14 and following. Verse 15 has the word Asherah or blessed in it, but I think it's generally good feelings all the way around in all those verses. So Psalm 89, verse 14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Loving kindness and truth go before you. Now here's our verse. How blessed, how happy are the people who know the joyful sound. O Lord, they walk in the light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all day, and by your righteousness they are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength, and by your favor our horn is exalted. Well, verse 15 is the main one. We sing it in the hymn, Jesus Saves. We have heard the joyful sound. I wonder if the author had a connection back to this phrase here. Very possible. We'd have to look to know more. But how happy are the people who know the joyful song of praising God? You know, we were made to worship. People that don't worship are not going to be as happy. They're not doing what they were made for. We were made to have fellowship with God. We were made to want to exalt and promote God. When a person refuses to do it, they're not going to be happy. They might have a temporary thrill of the banana split or, seeing the beach. And it'll last for a day or two. And those are even non-sinful good things. And then they might be mistaken and do sins that they think give them temporary pleasures. But we were made to worship God, and if we don't worship God, they're not going to be fully happy. On our list here, we had already looked at Psalm 2, and that's where they sit on the seat of the scornful and rage at God and His anointed Messiah. But we get near the end of Psalm 2, it does talk about worship. It says, do homage to the Son and worship the Son with reverence. And the very final verse of that is blessed. So worship brings blessing in Psalm 2. Psalm 65, verse 4, I have that right in front of me. How blessed or happy are those that you choose. And that was up above on feeling better about being chosen, but they're were chosen to be worship leaders. So we put it in both categories. We feel better when we know we're among the chosen as believers, and we'll feel better when we are chosen to worship. That brings us to Psalm 84, which we've already done, but I'd like to go back a few chapters to Psalm 84 and read at least verse 5 again. And you might scan through the first four verses. They're some of the lyrics of what we sing. The person wants to go to the temple. Now in verse 5, the temple and worship is in their heart. They're thinking about the road to Zion, or we can think about the road to heaven above. And the person would like to go there and is happy when they go there. And, better is one day. I'd rather go there for one day than thousands outside. That's verse 10. But the person is a little bit envious. He can't go there all the time. He's a little bit envious of those that are in worship at all times. That would be verse 4. How happy are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Well, he was doing the best he could. He was thinking about the temple. Couldn't be there all the time, but he was a little bit righteously envious of the birds that fly around it. And in our verse that we read, how happy are those who get to participate in the worship services all the time. Well, applied it to the church age, as we're in the presence of God at all the times, and there is no more temple. So we would say worship brings better feelings, not just custom, not just habit, but when we actually want to promote God, we'll feel better. Now let's go on to number 7, which I think is really a little bit strange, but it makes sense that being chastened for sin will make us feel better over time. And we have Job. But to save a few minutes, I think I can read Job for us. Let's look at Psalm 94. And while you're finding Psalm 94, I will read Job 5:17. Again, the point is a couple of verses say being chastened by God will make us feel better, which doesn't make sense at first, but it does in the end. Here's Job 5:17. Behold, how happy, left it alone, how happy is the man whom God reproves. Do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. Well, it's one of Job's counselors, so you would first wonder, does he know what he's talking about? Because sometimes they're mixed up, but Psalm 94, verse 12, approves it. And so we could use Job, but Psalm 94, verse 12, blessed, feeling better, is the man whom you chasten, O Lord, whom you teach out of your law. Now, we all know Hebrews 12, where it refers to earthly fathers and heavenly fathers, and they discipline their kids, and at first it didn't feel real good, but later on they thanked them. So that's the point here, is chastening will make us feel better if God does it. And in the end, it stops us from going away that will cause damage. So at first you'd say chastening is not good, and then you'd say, yeah, think about it. If God were to make a hardship and it causes us to stop something that will be damaging, later on we'll feel better. We'll look back upon it. The next one is the same perspective of looking back, only point number 8 is looking back that we have forgiveness. And that's Psalm 32. So if you can go to Psalm 32. Now there's only one verse under forgiveness brings happiness. It's Psalm 32, but the Apostle Paul caught it. So it gets quoted in the New Testament. And I think this one is very, very important because the opposite of forgiveness is guilt. Guilty people feel very depressed. So we'll try to keep it positive, but looking back, David could say, I've been forgiven and I feel a lot better. Psalm 32, 1 and 2. How blessed, how happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed, how happy is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. My glance at verse 3 is the opposite, although I want to stress the positive, but the opposite in verse 3 was when I didn't confess it, oh, I didn't feel good, I was groaning, and you know, verse 4 is God's hand pressed down on me, which might be an old way of saying depression. So we don't want to stress verses 3 and 4, but David was a believer at this point. Not an unsaved person, he's a believer, and he committed adultery and had the soldier put in a dangerous spot and killed. And he didn't do anything about it for a year. And during that year, he knew he was not forgiven. And during that year, it says he was groaning in verse 3, and he could feel God squeezing him in verse 4. We would call it depression. There are 20 causes of depression. That's not our subject today. One is medical. Elijah, the journey is too hard for you. Rest some more, recover, eat some more, and so forth. But I think guilt is a big cause of depression. And we're trying to be opposite. A cause of happiness is having the guilt removed. And guilt before God the judge is removed, and we trust in Jesus as Savior, and God the judge says, clothed in Christ's righteousness, uncondemned. Apostle Paul applied Psalm 32 that way. He applied it in Romans chapter 4. He quoted this. And, you know, how blessed, how happy. And in Romans, it's the Greek word for happiness. They did the same thing. They got blessed, blessed, blessed. It's Makarios. How happy is the one that is forgiven. And he applies it to the forgiveness of salvation. David technically was already saved. He's already a believer when he does this. And so it's fatherly forgiveness. And he wasn't going to go to eternal punishment, but he felt terrible that he covered it up. Similar to Philippians 3, where Paul forgot the past, kind of voting yes on stoning Stephen and stuff like that, voting yes on arresting the Christians. Forgetting the past. And that's what's going on here in Psalm 32, where David can look back and say, I was miserable when I did not confess it. I was happier when I confessed it and got forgiveness. There are two references to forgive kind of here. One is the word forgiveness. The other is the word covered. Forgiveness is up and away. Usually a heavy load, too hard to carry. Forgiveness is up and away. It is used of debt, both in our time, but also in Bible times, to forgive a debt. It's like a heavy load, either way, up and away. More unique is covered. Blessed are those whose sin is covered. That word is used of putting the tapestry over the Ark of the Covenant. Used it putting the tapestry over the menorah. And God will cover sins that are confessed and hide them so that we can forget them. And God can, I don't mean intellectually forget them, but he doesn't do anything about them. They're hidden. They're covered. And most interesting here is the idea that if we cover up our sins ourselves, we're not forgiven. If we uncover them to God, he forgives them and covers them back up again. And that's an interesting thought. Whoever covers his sin will not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. We cover up our own sins. It doesn't work. We uncover them by confession, then God covers them back up by forgiveness. Interesting thought. Cover. Forgive is to take the heavy load and move it away. No more back-breaking load to carry. Cover is to throw a blanket over it. Can't see it anymore. I mean, he remembers it, but it's a figure of speech. Can't see it anymore. And this verse is saying it brings us happiness. Now let's go to number 9, and if you'll come to Psalm 106. I'll read some of the other ones. Let me try to communicate it. having a philosophy of life and strong convictions will make us happier. A conviction. I believe this. I don't believe this. Then when somebody teaches it, you say, you're dumb, you're smart. Or moral convictions. This is right. This is right. This is wrong. This is wrong. And having it before the temptation comes up. Well, I've been a Christian since I was a kid, so I don't really understand the other, but can you imagine? No convictions. No beliefs of right and wrong. And then you're out there on your own with all these people and all this society. And what this is saying is if you have convictions and a philosophy of life that this is true and this is right, you will feel better. So moral standards about what is doing what is right. And one verse for that would be Psalm 106, verse 3. How happy are those who keep justice, who practice righteousness at all times. Now, that's close to seeking God, but a little bit different. Seeking God would be what does God think, what does God feel, what does God want to do? Here is the conviction. I want to do what is right. I want to do what is right. I want to do what is right. And if we don't know, I'm going to find out what's right. I'm going to find out what is right. I'm going to find out what is true. And then I'm going to do what is right. Then I'm going to do what is true. And the full lesson is that will make us feel better. People who have no morals, no convictions, they're just out there floating around. My heavens, it's like a tsunami floating around the garbage. By contrast, a Christian person says, this is wrong. What they're talking about is wrong. What they're doing is wrong. And they have it. They have that conviction and they have that settled before it ever comes up. And this verse is saying they're going to be happier or feel better. We didn't go to Isaiah 56, 1 and 2. Here it is. Preserve justice. Do righteousness. How happy or blessed is the one who does this? So kind of ahead of time. Better off, happier, having the answers. And the attitude, I will do what is right, and knowing what is right. Number 10, and this will be the last for today, is kind of the opposite. I know what is right. I know wrong when I hear it. We'll be happier if we have the attitude that we don't care what the world thinks. So let's go to Psalm 40, as we've already done Psalm 1. And Psalm 1, you'll remember, is how blessed is the one who does not follow the counsel of the ungodly. Okay? Just doesn't care. And we've already done that one, so I pick Psalm 40, verse 4. How happy is the man who has made the Lord his trust, in our part, and has not turned to the proud, or those who lapse into falsehood. We're better off if we don't care. Oh, they don't approve. So what? We'll be happier if we don't care what they think. Psalm 1 teaches that. Psalm 40 teaches that. Let me review the first 10 as quick as possible. Trusting in God for security in the battle brings happiness. Feeling that we're chosen. God's view of us is our view of us. That'll make us happier. God's truths will make us happier. Taking God seriously, fear of God will make us happier. Seeking to be close to God will make us happier. Worshiping that God will be exalted makes us happier. looking back, if something bad happened and it caused a cessation of sin, that will make us happier. Forgiveness makes us happier. Only got one verse with the word happy, but really influenced Paul. Having some convictions about what is right and wrong and true and error makes us happier. And not caring too much what the world thinks makes us happier. Should be able to finish the rest of them next time. Will you come, please?